The message today is a two-part message. Of course, next Sabbath will be the second part. And I want us to think of, by now, like maybe the, yeah, you got the up on the screen change. The whole concept of a new year, it's usually an opportunity for us to make some resolutions. The old folk, Sister Lorna, not that you're old, but the old folk, the seasoned folk have learned lessons, and so they no longer make resolutions. They simply ask God to help them through the year, because for many people, they make resolutions by, we say February, they just disappear. But I want to share seriously today, this message is not for you. You can tune out, you can leave. If there is nothing in your life that needs changing, if you have everything just the way you want it, then maybe you can, I don't mind if you read a book while you're here. But if there is something that you want to change, I want you to pay attention to the Word of God today. There is something funny about this text, Genesis 27, 4 to 6. Let's bow our heads. Father, just come now and share your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let all the saints say, amen. Amen. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? I want to thank Gabe, Master Gabe, for reading our text so well today. Amen. Amen. It's good to see the young folk participating. This is the last text in Genesis 27. And it's a strange text because when you read it, it may seem like nothing, but if you read the passages before it, you may wonder what place does this text have in the discourse? And you will see in a minute how strange this text is when you consider the passages that went before it. Genesis 27, let's just read 4 to 1 through 4 to 5. Read with me together. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her eldest son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her youngest son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? Then comes verse 4 to 6. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do to me? There is absolutely no connection with verse 4 to 6 to what went ahead, except if you understand the structure and dynamics of the home. Back then, emphasis on back then, men were still leaders of their homes. God wants it to continue that way today, but in many households, too many fathers are absent, and too many men who are in the house do not take the lead when it comes to spiritual matters. If the mother doesn't call for worship, or the mother does not call for a time of prayer, usually there is none. But honoring her husband, Rebecca was saying to Isaac, give me permission to send our son Jacob away. And the reading says that she was telling her son, you need to go to your uncle's place because I heard your older brother Esau is trying to kill you. How then do we get to the point where she's talking about the daughters of Heth? How did she arrive at this place of saying, the reason I'm sending Jacob away is because I don't want him to marry one of these ladies? That's what she said. When in fact, the real reason she was sending him away was because she was afraid that his brother Esau would have killed him. Here is what Genesis 26 tells us of what transpired that caused this problem. When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and also Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite. They were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. She is using the fact that Isaac was not in agreement with his son marrying a non-Seventh-day Adventist. She was so much in, she understood that, that she says, well, here is the reason why I'm sending my son away, when in fact, it was not the reason. It brings me to one of 2 points I want to make today. Read with me the first point. True change cannot what? Be realized in our proclivity for blame shifting. Blame shifting. You will recall in the creation, God made Adam, and then he told Adam to number or name the animals. And in so doing, Adam realized that everybody had somebody except him. And then God put him to sleep. And God made Eve, and after that, Adam woke up, became an instant poet. And he said, she's bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. He was so enthralled with what he saw, he just said, God, I thank you for this woman. And then after the fall, watch blame shifting. When God approached Adam and said, Adam, what is it you did? The first thing Adam said, hey, the woman you gave me. Blame shifting. So God said, all right, Adam, he called Eve. Eve, what is it you did? She said, the serpent beguiled me. In other words, God, you are ultimately to be blamed because you made the serpent. So blame shifting is not new. And here we find Rebecca doing the same thing. She's blaming the wives of her son Esau as the reason she is sending Jacob away, when in fact, she's sending Jacob away because of the threat from his brother. Daniel G. Amen, a medical doctor, and this is a wonderful quote that I like. Read with me what it says. People who want ruin their own lives have what? A strong tendency to blame other people when things go wrong. This is what Rebecca is doing. It didn't quite turn out the way she wanted it. And the first thing she did was blame the wives of her son Esau. Robert Kennedy said, when you blame others, what happens? You give up the power to change. You give up the power to change. True change cannot be realized in our proclivity for blame shifting. And unlike what Timothy Keller says, life-changing repentance begins where blame shifting ends. Stop and think for a moment. What is it you would like to change about your life, but you really can't even begin to do it because you are busy blaming others for where you are in life? There are many people who will tell you about their present situation based on something that happened 40, 50 years ago, and the people that caused that are all dead. And yet today, they are living their lives not being able to change because of others. Life-changing repentance begins where blame shifting ends. Here is something about this story that is rather interesting. Whenever you've read this story, there's a temptation to see Isaac and Esau as unsuspecting victims. Rebekah and Jacob were the ones who connived to play a trick or to deceive Esau and his father. I want you to bear that in mind as we continue. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, "My son?" And he said unto him, "Behold, here am I." And he said, "Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, that's deer, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." And Rebekah heard when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, "Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death." Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. I want you to stop for a moment. Who is running the show here? It's Rebekah, the same lady who is shifting blame. "Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth." She knows his taste. So Esau goes out to hunt. He has to find the deer. He has to kill the deer. He has to come home and cook the deer. And Rebekah says, "I have a plan. While he's out, I know what I need to do so that my plan will go forward. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man." Gentlemen, please understand, women have it covered. She already had it figured out. "Don't worry about it, Jacob." That's what she was saying to him. "My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver." By the way, that's what the name Jacob means. Deceiver, supplanter, trickster, con man, that's his name. "And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." And his mother said unto him, "Upon me be thy curse. My son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them." We have to be careful for what we ask. She says, do what I tell you. Any curse is going to be on me. This woman who was sending her son away never saw him again. Be careful what you ask for. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau. Listen to the plot, which were in with her in the house. And she put them upon Jacob, her younger son. In other words, you can smell like your brother. Your father's eyes are dim. He can't see as he would like to. But we're going to make it so that he fully doesn't grasp that it's you. And she put the skins of the kids of the goat upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave him the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son. She gave Jacob clothing of his brother. She gave Jacob the food that she made and sent him into his father. True change cannot be realized in our proclivity to blame others. Number two, this is rather interesting. True change cannot ignore God's declarations. I want you to go to Genesis 27 and pick up the story and see why Isaac's behavior is really out of sorts. By the way, Isaac, the patriarch, is the spiritual leader of his family. Genesis 27:30, after Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, my father, please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. Genesis 27:32. His father Isaac asked him, who are you? I am your son, he answered, your firstborn Esau. I emboldened the word violently for a reason. Isaac trembled. I want you to capture what's happening to this father. He had just pronounced blessings upon Jacob, who is the younger son. Now the older son comes in. He's totally taken by surprise. He doesn't understand what's happening. Isaac trembled violently. He was out of sorts and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came in, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed. In other words, what I have done cannot be reversed. Cannot be reversed. It's interesting that Isaac forgot what God himself had said. True change cannot be realized when we forget God's declarations. Read what it says. Isaac, Genesis 25:21. Isaac what? Prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was what? Childless. Read with me. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became what? Pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, what? Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One will be stronger than the other, and the older will what? Serve the young. Who is saying this? God. So the question then is, why would this father, this spiritual leader, Who was the one who went to God and prayed and said, my wife is childless? And by the way, we may think this nothing, but if you ever have the opportunity to sit down with couples that are infertile, it's really something stressful, emotionally sad. It's not an easy thing. You know, some folk, if you just look at them too hard, they become pregnant. Seriously, people get pregnant without even trying to be pregnant. And there are others who are doing everything. And so when she was talking to her husband and said, I can't have children, he went and he prayed. And God said, look, you, not only are you going to become pregnant, but there are going to be two babies in your womb. Back then, they had no ultrasound. With our modern conveniences, we just think everything is easy. And there God said to them that the younger one would rule the older one. Now, who said that? God. So if Isaac is the spiritual leader of his household, why is he going against the will of God and trying his best to bless the older son? Is it possible that sometimes spiritual people miss the mark? Is it possible? Well, there was something very specific. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red. That's why the Edomites come, descendants of Esau. And his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. His name was as a result of how he looked. After this, his brother came out with his hand, what, everybody? Grasping Esau's heel. This is a baby. And one commentator said, which I kind of pushed aside, because if it's a baby in the womb, he doesn't know what's going on. But the commentator said he's grasping at the heel, trying to pull his brother back so that he will come out first. So even from the womb, there was a sense that this guy needs to be number one. The question then is, what drove Isaac to forget what God had declared? That's the question. Can you think of the answer? What drove Isaac, this spiritual guy, to forget what God had declared? Read with me Genesis 25, 27. Together, the boys grew up, and Esau became what? A skillful hunter, a man of what? Open country. While Jacob was content to what? Stay at home among the tents. This is the verse. Isaac, who had what? A taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Stop and think of it for a moment. His appetite, his taste for wild game, caused him to forget the declaration of God. God says the younger shall rule the older, but Isaac said, I love this boy. I love the way he hunts. I love what he brings in. I love the way he cooks. I just love the taste of wild game. This is kind of amazing. I think the word here is appetite. And if we recall, I think it was the same thing in the Garden of Eden. Was it not appetite? Appetite started the fall. And here, a spiritual man, a leader, is actually deciding that temporal pleasures and benefits are superior to what God has declared. And before we rush too quickly to blame or to condemn Isaac, I have an answer to the question. Here's a question for you. As a matter of fact, let's go back to grade school. Is that all right? I want you to repeat after me. Am I guilty?
Am I guilty?
You two online.
Am I guilty?
Am I guilty?
Of disregarding
what God had decreed for my life, because I love, and you fill in the blank. You fill in the blank. I know what some are tempted to think. We all seem to know what is the downfall of another person. This is a personal question. What is the wild game that drives me to forget what God had declared for my life? I'm using the word declaration deliberately. God's declaration is not predestination. In other words, God didn't set it so that this happens. God simply says, this is what I know will happen. So we have choice in the matter as to how we comply or not comply with what God wants. And what we tend to do is just like Isaac, when I think of the wrongs I've done, it's all been for appetite. It's what makes us feel good. And if a patriarch can forget what God declared. Isaac was the one who prayed and asked God, God, my wife is childless. Give us something. And God says, hey, you're going to have twin boys, but the younger one is going to be the one to rule. But Isaac says, I just love wild game so much, I'm going to bless the older one. What about our appetites? What is it we love to put in our mouths that causes us to disregard the plans God has for our lives? I want us to read this statement of Ellen G. White to conclude this message today. Read with me together. The quiet, peace-loving shepherd, Isaac, was attracted by the daring and vigor of this elder son, who fearlessly ranged over mountain and desert, returning home with game for his father and with exciting accounts of his adventurous life. Jacob, thoughtful, diligent, and caretaking, ever thinking more of the future than the present, was content to dwell at home, occupied in what? The care of the flocks and the tillage of the soil. His patient perseverance, thrift, and foresight were valued by the mother. His affections were deep and strong, and his gentle, unremitting attentions added far more to her happiness than did the boisterous and occasional kindness of Esau. To Rebekah, Jacob was the dearest son. I want you to understand, as Ellen White describes what is happening here, and think of ourselves this way. As wrong as she was, have you ever done anything wrong? As wrong as she was in deceiving her husband, she was driven by the fact she saw in this boy something that was different from his older brother. More than that, she was driven by the thought of what the angel had said. The younger one should rule the older one. Here's what I want us to be careful of. When God gives a declaration, we need to be careful. It doesn't matter how well-intentioned we are. We need to be careful we don't run ahead of God trying to fix things the way we want to make it come true. If God has a plan for your life, it may not look like it's going the way you want it, but trust God. Don't run ahead of him doing something wrong so as to bring about what God has declared. This is what Rebecca is guilty of, but she saw something in this boy that God had seen. And what that says is that sometimes we have the tendency to look at a person the way things are, but God looks at the person as to how they can be. He looks and he sees not only how deceptive this boy is, but he can see down the road as to how this boy would bring about the blessing. That's why prosperity says, you will never hear somebody saying in any prayer, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. You'll always hear God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So today, if someone has declared you to be a deceiver, a con artist, a supplanter, I want you to hold on to what God has said for you. And don't allow the proclivity for blame shifting to take away your ability to change. And remember that true change cannot ignore God's declarations. Next week, we'll continue part two of this message. But I want you to focus on these two points. Don't blame others for where you are in life. It doesn't get you anywhere. Number two, remember what God says about you. And what does God say about you? I'm so glad you asked. You know what he said? It is not my will that any should what? Perish, but that what? All should come on. In other words, God's will for me is to be in the kingdom. What about you? Amen. That's his will. Whatever you think, his will is for you to be saved, no matter what somebody tells you as to what a con artist you may be or you may appear to be. Rebecca could see in her son what God had declared. Father in heaven, we go through life not recognizing that we will never be able to change if we keep blaming others for where we are. And we will never be able to change if we forget what you had decreed and declared for our lives. We look at this mother who went about things the wrong way. She knew what you had said. Her husband had forgotten. He was caught up in his love for wild gain. We too can be caught up in our love for the temporal. Forgive us for our sins, where we have walked away because our appetite got the best of us. May we remember who you are in everything. This we pray in Jesus' name. Let the church say, amen. Before we conclude today, let me just take a minute to acknowledge Lorna King. The time is 12:07. She is now our new coordinator to ensure that we just stay online for everything. There's no reason for us to get out of church at 1 o'clock. Just keep supporting us, supporting what we're trying to do, and may God bless you all.